Hallelujah. God is good. Like Micah said, welcome to Monday Night Recovery. We come to get more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Get delivered, set free. That's what I've always said. The more Jesus you put in, the more you'll be like him. The more the word, the more you praise, the more praying in spirit, confessions, meditating on the word, doing the word. More you become like him. And it's doing and doing. It's got to be a continuing daily, day in and day out doing. Continually putting it in every day. Just like your meal, your spiritual food. Like I said, welcome to Monday Night Recovery. And we got Thanksgiving on Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And don't forget to set your scales back 10 pounds. Because we're going to eat good. We're going to eat good. Praise God. God is good. We're going to be talking about, originally it was overcomer or warrior. You're one of the two. But then I was up at the jail last night and dealing with some of them guys. It went from overcomer or warrior, it's your choice, to overcomer or warrior, or you just don't care, warrior. Overcomer or warrior, or you just don't care, don't give a rip, you're lazy. And it's your choice, because then some of them guys were in there. And by the time I was done preaching those guys, and I got on to some of them, I said, hey, one was trying to mess with those other guys here and stuff. No, we ain't. I said, stop that. I'm talking to about a 30-year-old man. I said, stop that. It's pitiful. And, you know, when I was done, he came up there and said, you know what, I come in here for all the wrong reasons, didn't care. You know what I thought about it. And I knew what was going on. And he goes, but you spoke to my heart tonight. You spoke to me, so, you know, touched a man. Hallelujah. And I didn't tell you, but had 1, 2, 3, 4 rededications to my life. To their life to Jesus. Not me. I'm just me, not nobody special. By the Holy Spirit, I'm special. That's what makes me special. Special. Yeah. That's right. Mr. Avar, that's how I pronounce his name, I got to baptize him last month after he gave his life to Jesus. But then he told me last night, he goes, you know what, Lyle, I never told you this, but when you came, the night before you came, that night, that I guess that was a Saturday night, he said, I had a dream of that. I had the other red shirt on. I had the different design. I seen you in that shirt. And when you were up there, when I came in that Sunday night, I just about fell out. That God gave me a dream of you coming here. I was like, whoa, praise God. So that was shocking. God gave the man a dream before I ever showed up. And the man ended up giving him. In fact, that night that was back last month, I had, I think, 4 salvations. I was one of them that never been saved. They were actually salvations. I think 3 or 4 of those were first-time salvation, if I remember right, last month. So that was good news. So we're either a overcomer, a worrier, or you just don't care, and you just, you know, kind of like some of those guys worrying. But it's our choice. That's the good thing about it. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for helping me do a good job. Give me words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and encouragement to flow forth, and we all receive that wisdom and understanding of your word. And Satan, we bind you up. You can't steal the word in Jesus' name. Amen. All who agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It's pretty self-instructing. There is, we're supposed to cast our cares upon Jesus, for he cares for us. Do you know you have a God that cares for you? I'm here to tell you that all them other so-called gods, they're not caring for you. Those wooden and the stone ones, or the TV idols, the idol deals and all that stuff, they ain't worried about us. But this God, Jesus Christ, cares about us. He went all the way to the cross. And died on the cross and asked his father, is there another way? But your will be done. And he went. When he'd done what Adam couldn't do, Jesus was able to do it. Praise God. Whew. Done something I couldn't have done. Praise the Lord. So your care, what is a care to you or me? A care would be something that inwardly tears at you and causes mental anguish. So it's something that, a thought. It could be a thought that's not of God. And you need to learn how to quit reeling that back in. When you cast your cares off on God, don't reel it back in and pick that care back up. You leave it with God. And you stay in peace. Because Jesus can handle it. Hallelujah. You look at Martha and Mary. When Jesus went fishing with his 12 disciples, their brother Lazarus died, and they were all upset. They were, oh my gosh. If only, here comes Martha running out there when Jesus come back. If only you'd been here, Lord, he'd have lived. Oh, squalling and bawling, having fit. And then Jesus has to settle her down and say that, you know, he'll live. And she goes, I know he'll rise back into the resurrection. And Jesus has to tell her, I am the life and resurrection. And here comes Mary, and she's all upset. And Jesus says, where is he laid at? So, guess what? Jesus is finna go perform a miracle. Jesus is finna take care of this once and for all. Once for all, praise God. And he heads to the tomb. And he tells her, roll back the stone. Roll back the stone. Because I'm telling you, worrying is going to go to faith in being an overcomer. They're going to learn how to be an overcomer. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, bound up. Because they wrapped him in them shrouds in those days and put him in those hewn out cave-like deals and rolled a rock across them, a stone across them. And he come out, the angels brought that sucker out and sat him down because that's the only way he could come out. He was wrapped tight like a mummified in that shroud deal. And they unwrapped him, and Jesus said, loose him, let him go, and he was loosed. So their worry and upsettingness and all their pain, you know, Jesus showed them how through him, you know, take your care and give it to Jesus because Jesus can handle it, praise God. Let's look over Matthew 11, 28, 30. When you got Jesus on your side, you don't need anybody else. Hallelujah. You just need the word. Well, don't get me wrong. You need the church and other people praying for you. But I'm saying you don't need another Savior is what I'm saying. You don't need anybody else to save you or take care of you. Matthew 11, 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The good one, isn't it? Let me find it here. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you, what's he going to give you? Rest. He's going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. It's a light burden. Run when Jesus, your life will be light. Praise God. What is this rest that makes the burden light? It's putting your trust in his word and keeping it there. Not reeling about. Putting your trust in his word. When you do your confessions and you've been standing for something. Like my wife and I, we were standing for money to pay bills this month. We were standing money for Christmas money. Well, guess what? All that came in yesterday, praise God. Like I told those guys in jail, I said, they about all fell out. I said, I had $3,000 given to me yesterday. They about all fell out. What? I said, yeah, that kind of stuff happened to me all the time, miracles and stuff. You know, someone give me money. So what did I do? I took $300, 10%, and tithed. Just like that, praise God. Because I'm expecting another miracle, hallelujah. I'm going to be a giver and like watch it be given to me. And now, guess what? Got my Christmas money for all the kids and all of us. Got the bills, the money to pay all the bills, hallelujah. Plus some, praise God. Plus some to give and be a blessing, hallelujah. And that's the way God works. So he makes that burden light because I'm confessing his word, doing his word. I don't have to get into worry. There's no, I don't have to. I'm not going to get into worry. I'm not going to get into worry. We just, my wife and I, would just pray for this arm. All through here. And I'm not going to say what the devil was trying to put in my mind about it. I'm not going to say what he was trying to say about it. But we just prayed and believed for that whole arm, all the tendons, ligaments, and everything to be healed, praise God. You know what? Praise the Lord. I'm standing on it. I'm thanking the Lord. I'm healed. I'm thanking the Lord. I'm twisting them bottles and I'm lifting up that stuff and I'm feeling good. Hallelujah. Keep my faith energized. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to go to the doctor and go get a bunch of surgeries and stuff like that. No. Got the faith. Hallelujah. Faith is my healer in Jesus. So we're keeping it there. Kenneth Hagin, when he was a boy, he was a teenager back in the 30s. He had an incurable blood disease. Doctors couldn't do nothing for the man. What do you do when it's incurable? You can't do nothing. Nothing. Doctors can't do nothing for you. Witch doctors couldn't do nothing for him. So what's he got to do? Man, all that's left is the word, Jesus. But the problem was he was only like 15. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't have enough. But his grandma and his mama did. Hallelujah. That's good. And the first time with that disease, he died. He said he just started descending. All he says, he was his spirit, man. He just left his body and he's descending down in this real dark place, real dark. And there was like an entrance to something in there. And he could hear noises and like screaming. And he went down to hell and fixing to go through the gate. There was something to grab him and he felt it and fixed to pull him in there. Then all of a sudden, a voice from heaven said, no, let him go. And he came back up to his body. And when he woke up, there was his mama and grandma praying for him. Sure, they prayed him back into the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He got saved after that. Now, he died quick. He died again. But this time, he said he went up into the light and was going up to Jesus. And the next thing you know, he's coming back down. That time, he didn't want to come back because he was headed to Jesus. And there was mama and grandma praying for him again. Then he got in the Word and found out that by Luke 11, 22 through 23 and 24, that he could be healed if he puts his faith in God and Jesus and the Word. And after he prayed and believed for healing in Jesus, he got up, pushed himself out of bed, got up, stood up. His legs were like pin needles and everything else, he said. But he walked around his bed the first time. Then he laid back down. And he kept doing that until finally. Next morning, he got back up. He told his mama to lay my clothes out. I'm getting up. He says, okay. So he got up the next day, put his clothes on, went downstairs, completely healed. And now he was 18 by this time, 17 and a half, 18. And so he had to get a job. He's helping support the family. And he there's an arboretum or trees. They plant trees. He's working for a company that planted trees there when he was like 18. And I don't think he was married yet. It was early, mid to late 30s. And all these other guys have been doing it for a long time. They're all muscled up. They're able to dig them holes and put them trees in there, put it back. He's nothing but a scrawny bone because he's been sick all for many years. So many years from that blood disease, and now he's healed from it. But you know what? Even then, he prayed and believed God for the strength to do it. You know what? He was able to outdo them other guys in the strength of Jesus. Did he worry about it? Did he fear about it? No. He put his trust in Jesus. He'd become an overcomer. He learned right there how to overcome. He learned when he got healed, and then he found out that Jesus will make you an overcomer if you put your faith in the Word. And then he carried on his life like that. Let's look over James 4:7. James 4:7. James 4:7. Let's see here. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's telling me that if we submit ourselves to God and His Word, and if we want to resist the devil, that he will flee. He has to flee. He has no choice because the Word says he'll flee from you when you resist. So we have the power to resist. Now, Mr. Hagin, Kenneth, could have went, told his boss and the people were, I'm just so weak, I just can't do this. And he could have complained and worried and fretted, told his mom and his grandma, just not working out, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I guess I'll go have to bag groceries at the grocery store or something like that. But instead, he became an overcomer and put his faith in the Word instead of being a worrier and a complainer. He started submitting himself to God and His Word, and he resisted the devil and he flee from him. And you got to do that in every area of your life, praise God. You got to do that in every area of your life. And that, like I told the guys in jail, this verse right here transcends every sin, everything. Because, like I told them last night, that every action you do, everything you speak, and everything you think is a seed. Just like an animal, a male and female, they have a seed and they have a baby. It's everything God created has a seed. It's a seed and becomes a child. It becomes an animal. Just like everything that we do is a seed. And whatever you're doing, you're going to reap and you're going to harvest that seed, no matter what it is, no matter what you're thinking, saying, or doing. It's going to have an outcome in your life, and it's going to come to pass in your life. Now, the good thing as a Christian, and I told them last night, if you're a Christian, you can say, Lord, if it's a bad seed, you can say, Lord, I repent of that. Please forgive me. And then that worry and get off you, that condemnation will get off you, praise God. Then if the devil tries to put it back on you, say, nope, devil, I done repented of that. The Lord don't even see it no more. It's gone by the blood of Jesus. You're not going to try to put it back on me. You're not going to try to get me in condemnation and fear and worry. I'm not putting up with it in Jesus' name. Go. And you know what? You resist him just like that. You say, I submit myself to God. I resist the devil and he flee from me. You know what? He's gone. I've had to do that myself. And he had to go and he went. I had to do it twice in a row. I'd say it again. Just like Jesus spoke to the devil on the Mount of Temptation. He spoke to it. The sucker finally left. You got to put it on that old devil. Kick him in the old head. Keep him under your feet. Now, what should have Mary and Martha done? And let's look at a few things that would have helped them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians, I think it's after Ephesians, if I remember right. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Now, you know, that's a command of God. Do not worry about a thing, he said. That's basically my translation of that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, what the first thing is, just like Monica and I did, we prayed over that situation with my arm. That's the first thing we did was pray over it. Same thing Mary and Martha should have prayed over that situation and believed for results. So I prayed over this situation. Now I'm standing, and now I'm doing, that's Mark 11, 24. Now I'm standing on Mark 11, 23, and just speaking to it. I said, you're redeemed from the curse. You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Pain you go in Jesus' name. I believe I got it. That's why you see me holding it with his hand, because I'm putting action with my faith. Praise God. I was carrying my briefcase in here with this hand. I'm not going to try to do everything with this hand. I'm going to do it with this hand because I'm trusting God. That I'm healed. All right. So prayer brings peace. Remember the burden's light. You just got peace and rest. That's Jesus. John 16:33. Let's see. Brings peace. John 16:33. Let's see here. 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus overcome the world. He wants you to overcome the world. Because you're supposed to do greater works than he did. And you're supposed to be an overcomer too, just like him. It's our responsibility. We don't want to be that warrior, and we don't want to definitely be that quitter or don't care. We want to strive to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. So, what's next for Martha, Mary, or anybody that's going through life in any situation? Any situation. I don't care what it is. I'm just using the illustration of this. I'm using the illustration of Martha, Mary. It could be, you know, I see most females, like I was telling the guys last night in jail, and you go to recovery, most females, it's hate men, angry at men because of the way they've been treated or this or that, and they get a bad... A lot of times they'll get a bad image of God because male, and get mad at God if they're not staying close to the Word because of men. And the jealousy is another thing women deal with, and it's like I told them. I mean, even nowadays, porno. I mean, women are just about as into it about as much as men are. You know, men got to fight against porno and anger and rage and stuff like that a lot, and drugs and alcohol for both sides. But even the porno's gotten so bad, they had to fight him. So when that thought comes in, what do you do? How do you resist? Well, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. So you don't worry and fret about it. You're wanting to be like Jesus. So you got to do the. This is another thing Mary and Martha should have done. They could have kept this fear out of them. Keep this worrying off them. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. We're supposed to be bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility. Now that right there, I still confess that every morning. I used to confess it more than once a day, but now I'm confessing it once a day. And since I've confessed 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it was, I guess now about 3 years ago, all of a sudden a light came on, and I started analyzing my thoughts. Was that a God thought, or was that from the devil? Was that, what seed is that that's in my mind? Because what seed that is in my mind, if I leave it there and keep meditating on it, if I'm not careful, it'll turn into sin because I'll start getting ready to act on it. And to keep from acting on that, you got to stop that seed from forming. You got to speak to it. And you got to take that thought captive. I take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down thoughts that exalt itself against Jesus. Because worrying is not a God. It's a stronghold of the devil. It's a peace stealer, what it is. It steals your peace. Let's look over, Philippians 4:8-9. Philippians 4:8-9. Let's go back to Philippians. So now we've prayed. Now we're speaking to those thoughts, telling them to go if they're not right. We're saying, nope. I submit myself to God. Resist the devil. I think on good things. I'm not going to think on that. So that's how you do that. All right. So let's look at Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. I mean, who wants a God of peace to be with them? I mean, most people do. So we need to see what was going on with a man of God that's following Jesus and act on it. And this is one thing, to think and meditate on praiseworthy stuff. If it's good, meditate on it. That's why the Bible says to meditate on a word, to confess it, and then act on it. So we need to be staying in it daily, like I said earlier, daily. It is a fear killer. It is a doubt killer. It just brings faith to your life. Think on God's promises, talk God's promise, and act on His promise. You got to act carefree. That's the way you act carefree. I'm just laying off in my Father God and Jesus' lap in heaven, just having a good time. Hallelujah. I mean, after I done prayed for it and believed for it, and I'm preaching to it, and I'm just enjoying my life. Hallelujah. That's what I did, Monica and I do, whenever we're believing. I don't care if it's financially, physically, something for our children, whatever. And we're imagining through our mind what we want. When that's our blessings or healing or whatever we're believing for. We're imagining that in our life. The blessing. We're not imagining an old country song where you lost your dog and your house and your wife and your children. Your buddy down the street now raising your children and all that other crap. You know, you play them songs backwards just like the blues. You play them backwards. You get your wife back, your children back, you get your dog back, get your house back, get your truck back. That's how you get it all back. So we're not going to play that in our mind. We're going to play the blessing. Hallelujah. We're going to play praise of God. Hallelujah. So it's whatever a person wants. They want to be an overcomer, or do they want to be a worrier or just don't care? You know, they just kind of just floating through life, and that's, I'm just here. I mean, we all have a choice to what, however far we want to go with Jesus. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. I want all Jesus has for my life. Because he's good. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking for the weak. He's looking for the ones that are not in the Word. He's looking for the ones that forgot to submit themselves to God and resist the devil. He's looking for the ones that forget to pray. He's looking for the ones that won't take authority over the things in their mind. That's what he's looking for. Those that are pulling themselves away from the church, Father and Father. Because that Christian, he's going to run ran shot over them. He's going to devour them and try to take them out and just ruin their life and then make them a spectacle. What he'll do is make you a spectacle in front of a Christian, Christian and non-Christian, and you'll feel about that tall and condemn. Then he'll condemn you for it, and then you won't come back at all. And that's the way the devil works. That way you won't come back at all. So he's trying to, now he's wanting to hold you under his foot. Well, if you messed up, the Bible says over in Proverbs, the man gets up seven times or whatever the falls, and gets right back up, the righteous does. So we get right back up. We put our faith back in Jesus. We don't let the devil keep us under his feet. We get right back in there and keep him under our feet, praise God, and hold him down. I remember, it's back in March. I was having some things going on in my life. It was at work and things, and I was praying for America. I was praying for our local city, county, chamber, commerce, mayor, school board, and sheriff, all of them, all through the United States, the governors, lieutenant governors, senators, house representatives, Congress, and president, vice president, all the judges. I was praying for all America. I was trusting and believing God, and all of a sudden, I'm telling you what, it was like the devil just sat up on top of my head trying to just smash me down. I got into trying to put a pity party on me, trying to make me just feel like nothing. How do I explain that? It was just an emptiness hopelessness and he was mad because I was praying for America, believing for this country. He was angry. So I started praying in the spirit. And it was better. But then I started speaking to the mountain. And I started speaking to it. And I started speaking to the heaviness, telling it to go. I started speaking the word. My God, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich. He has no sorrow with it. He don't want me to keep speaking that over myself. Or you can speak James 4:7. I submit myself to God to resist the devil, and he flees from me. Go, Satan. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich. He has no sorrow with it. I'm blessed and healed, feeling great. And just start speaking the word. You know what? I did that. And I probably got three different scriptures out. You know what? All that released and got off me. It was like a depression. That's what it was. It was like a depression was on me. A hopelessness, that depression. And just like, ugh. And that is not me. One time in my whole life, it was back when I was unsaved, back in the 1998, I was hunting out in the woods out north of town out there at Harper's, and I was living with Mom in 97, and I was out in the woods, and I had a blueness come over me. I felt blue and hopeless. I come back, got out of the woods quick, had a gun in my hand because I was hunting for deer. I said, man, this is terrible. I don't know what this is. But I got out of there, and it just left me. It only stayed for probably like 2 hours. But I recognize that. And that's the only time in my whole life I ever know that I've ever been blue. I've never been depressed, discouraged as far as, I've been frustrated in my life. But as far as depression, never. Never been depressed as far as I go. Just don't get that way. I'm sorry. I just never been that way. I'm not going to give the devil satisfaction of him trying to make me worry by complaining to people or letting him know that it's bothering me. See, what the devil was doing that day with all that depression and trying to no hope, he was poking me. He was poking me in my mind, poking me, trying to see what I would say and start saying the wrong things. And once I start confessing the wrong things, he knew that it was working. He would know it's working. Instead, I said the opposite. I said the word of God, and I submit myself to get out. I resist the devil, and he flees from me. The blessing of the Lord makes me rich. He has no sorrow with it. And he goes, I got to let go of this guy, get off him, because he won't quit this. And he got off me, praise God. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to be a warrior. I'm going to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 22, 23. This is what I've done. I spoke to this deal. Spoke to the problem. Mark 11, 22, and 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That's your answer to everything in your life. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says, it will be done, he will have whatever he says. You're having whatever you're saying. I'm saying this arm's healed. I'm saying this arm's pain-free. I'm saying the devil's under my feet. I'm saying I'm blessed. I'm saying I'm healed. I have what I say. About a month ago, I ate bacon fast, and I ate a lot of it. And put even more on top of my Chick-fil-A sandwich. I had bacon all over me, and I ate it real quick. And all of a sudden, I had a little something here. And all of a sudden, trying to go to the bathroom. And it's gone on that week. And so Monica and I, we pray over the stomach, over this colon, digestive system, digestive tract, intestines, rectum, anus, the whole thing. Well, that's a little wild, but that's all your body parts. You got them too. And whether you like it or not, I hope you got them. We pray that it all be healed in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name. And God, you know, he's right there. The Holy Spirit and angels wanting to help me out. And then I would speak to it. I'd speak to that stomach and colon and all that, what I just named off. And I said, you're redeemed from the curse. You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. I poop the right amount of times a day. And I poop the right amount in Jesus' name. You should have seen them guys in jail last night. They were laughing at that. They liked that. And see, I was speaking to the mountain. You know what? I went back. The old poop went back to the right consistency. You know, well, they say it's supposed to be like Play-Doh. If it's just like Play-Doh, it's perfect. And that went back to Play-Doh and, you know, overcame, hallelujah. What happened to me about 2 years ago when I didn't do that? I ended up in a hospital with a bag on. That's when I didn't pray and I didn't speak to it. I just let it fester and go get worse and worse. Instead, I was saying in October about I was having an infection. Although I said that 2 years ago. And I didn't do nothing about praying for it. I didn't do nothing about speaking to it. And I finally got back into doing what I'm supposed to be doing when something, you know, when I'm fighting the devil, hallelujah. And we're over time, hallelujah. I hope you learn something. I hope you become a overcomer and stay out of worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's your choice, but. Well, thank you. Amen.